In John chapter 12, verse number 27, Jesus is praying to the Heavenly Father. And I want you to notice what he's saying. And this is just a little while before his passion. He said, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." I want to talk to you about the cause for a little while. Maybe even the 10:30 hour too. Jesus said in John 20, 21, "As my Father hath sent me, so send I you." We need to be reminded of something, what this business is all about. One missionary statesman said this: "A missionary is a person who never gets used to the thud of Christless feet on their way to eternity." You've heard this before, probably. "Why did you go to those heathen people?" ask a friend of a missionary. "Did they ask you to come?" "No, they didn't." "Then why did you go?" The missionary said, "When I was a young man in college, as I was passing along the street one night, I saw a bright glow inside a certain house. The wind had blown the curtains too close to a lighted gas jet, and they had been set aflame. However, because this family had not invited me to warn them, and because I did not want to disturb their peace, I continued walking until I reached my room." "You did no such thing," said the other. "You wasted no time in crying to them that their house was on fire." "Certainly," said the missionary, "and the darkness of heathendom reigns, where the darkness of heathendom reigns, did not invite me to come. But I recognized the danger that was theirs without Christ, knowing the peace and salvation he alone can bestow. I was bound by the commands of Christ and their dreadful need to tell them of saving grace." Here's a thought for you. The condition of the world, what I call the most serious condition, it's fourfold. First of all, the world does not know its peril. Look at Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 38 and 39. "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away." See, if they laughed and scoffed at Noah for what he was doing, one reason is, they didn't understand what was going on. They didn't realize the peril. Now, the Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, but for some reason or another, and I think I know some of the reasons, their ear was tuned out away, their heart was turned away, and they were ignorant of the peril that they were in. There are over 7 billion people alive in the world today. Our missionary statisticians tell us that still probably 50% of the world hasn't heard the gospel yet one time. 217,000 people are dying every day. That count's probably even higher than that now. That's an old figure. 217,000 people dying every day. That's almost 1.5 million people a week that go out into eternity. And many of them probably over half of them have never heard the gospel. Do you think that they would have understood the situation that they were in? Don't you think they'd have done something about it? You see, why do we have to send people to tell them about the Christ? Because they're ignorant of the dangerous situation that they're in. Here's another problem. The church does not know its greatest need. There was an old evangelist out of the South by the name of Dr. Fred Brown, preached for well over 50 years. Dr. Brown's signature message of his ministry was, what the church needs the most and misses the least. And he would preach on the power of God. Look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 17. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord's talking to that Laodicean church. He says, because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Have need of nothing. You know something, friend? Success has both positive and negative results. Sometimes, when we experience success, we forget what it's all about and where it came from. I'm talking about in the work of God. And we can have a lot of things. We can have a lot of money. We can have big crowds. We can have a lot of things going for us. If we're not careful, we'll forget our greatest need. And our greatest need is the power of God.
Amen.
No, it's not. That thou art wretched and miserable, blind. We have need of nothing. Let me tell you something. The Blessed Hope Baptist Church has a need. Has a great need. We need God's power. When God fed the children of Israel for 40 years, remember how he fed them? They had to go out every morning, get the manna for one day. The only day that they were able to gather for more than one day was on Friday, because they'd get enough for Friday and for the Sabbath. There's a great lesson. There are many great lessons there. One of the lessons is we can't get by on yesterday's manna. We can't get by on the blessings of yesterday and yesteryear. And of all of the things that we need, we need an awareness of God's presence and a continual manifestation of God's power in our individual lives and in our ministry of our church. Look at Luke chapter number 11. In Luke chapter number 11, He's teaching here on prayer, teaching his disciples. And he says in Luke chapter number 11, he says in verse 5, which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are in bed with me, or with me in bed. Boy, I'm glad we changed that custom. I cannot rise and give thee. You'll get that after a while. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. Then he goes on. Once again, talking about prayer. So you cannot separate earnest, fervent prayer from the power of God. One of my old mentors, I went to his Bible college over in Indianapolis, Indiana. In fact, your founding pastor went there for a little while. He got it. Quicker than me. He didn't have to go as long as I did. He was called the Indiana Bible College when Brother Ross was there. And we later changed the name to Indiana Baptist College. Dr. Ford Porter started that. By the way, I preached in Princeton, Indiana last Sunday. Well, your brother Ross told me that they had a burden to start a church down in that area. I told him then, and I don't know if it had anything to do with his decision or not, but I told him. I said, Vincennes is not the place to start it. Go down around Princeton, down there where that Toyota plant is. There's over 5,000 employed in that Toyota plant. And Brother Reiser told me they're getting ready to add 400 more, thanks to Trump. But Princeton, Indiana was the birthplace of God's Simple Plan of Salvation track. You've given out tens of thousands of them. Are you still using any at all? Yeah. But in 1933, Ford Porter pastored First Baptist Church in Princeton, Indiana. And I heard him say it more than once. He wanted to get the gospel into every home in Princeton. So he had 200 of those tracks printed, and he got one to every home. But it didn't stop there, because Dr. Porter had prayed that God would give him a ministry that would encircle the world. And as of about 10 years ago, over 500 million of those God's Simple Plan of Salvation tracts have been printed and distributed. And we've got testimony, one of Adolf Hitler's bodyguards. We found one in a men's room on the floor, written in German, and he read that tract and got saved. Brother Reiser told me last Sunday, he said, I called, because I was talking to him about where that tract, and he said, I called the I forget what the printing ministry is named now, Lifegate Incorporated, that prints that track. Now it's Mark Porter, Dr. Porter's grandson. This was running it last I heard. Jonathan called over there and wanted some God's Simple Plan of Salvation track. He said, there's no woman over there about that. Her name is Betty. She's been there for 180 years, and she's still there. She's the one he was talking to. And when he told her that it was for the White River Baptist Church in Princeton, Indiana, she stopped. And it took her a while to gather herself together a little bit, because she knew that's where that track. And nobody else is using that. That First Baptist doesn't use. Nobody else is using that track around there. So why am I saying that? I don't know. Just thought I'd pass it on to you. Amen. Now back to the message. Dr. Porter used to say, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. He said this. He said, prayer's God's means for carrying out God's work down here on earth. The church does not know its greatest need. We think we have it all. But without Christ, we don't have anything. So Jesus gives us this example. This fella has a friend come by in the middle of the night. Travel weary, needs rest, but he needs something to eat, didn't have anything to give him. So he goes next door. He goes next door. Gets his neighbor up, wakes him up, tells him. He said, I've got a friend over here who has a need, and I have nothing to give. And that's where we are without Christ. We have nothing to give. So where are we going to get it? What we need. Jesus said that neighbor, he didn't want to get up. He's already in bed, the family settled down, didn't want to wake the kids, they'd cry for a couple of hours. But because of that neighbor's importunity, he will arise and give. That word importunity means shameless persistence. This month, Brother Reiser's doing the same thing. I don't know if Brother Clancy does or not. I was with Reiser last week. I'm here this week, and next week I'm going to be over in Bloomfield with Clancy. So it's a three week. If we're going to get the gospel around the world, we have to have money. Yeah, but money without the power of God is useless. We have to have manpower. It's always been the biggest need. But if we have manpower without the power of God, it's useless, it's fruitless. Prayer. Could I ask you today, how do you pray? How often do you pray? How much do you pray? See, we're going to have to be shamelessly persistent in our prayers to keep Blessed Hope where it's at and keep Blessed Hope doing what it's doing and to keep sending the gospel across this community. In this county, this state, this country, and the world. Could I ask you something? You support missionaries. Do you pray for? Do you earnestly pray? How much do you pray? Without the power of God, we're no better than anybody else in town. We're no effective. No more effective than anybody else. Without God's power. You see, the lost world doesn't realize its peril. The church is ignorant of its greatest need. The power of God. Christians do not know their Lord. Look at John 14. In John 14, verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Huh? Let me read the rest of that. He that seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, Show us the Father? You know, he had been with them for 3.5 years. He said, I've been teaching you and training you for 3.5 years. And you still don't know me. More about Jesus would I know. How well do you know him? Do you get close enough to him in your time of meditation and devotion to feel the heartbeat of God? Do you get close enough? Do you know him? Do you know him personally? Do you know him intimately enough that you catch his vision and not your own? The apostle said, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection. How well you know the scripture? How well do you know the God of the scripture? Do you have a personal walk with him? Christians do not know the Savior like we need to. And then lost sinners do not know the Savior. John chapter 4 and verse number 10. He said, Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith that he give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him and he would have given those living water. The lost world does not know the Savior. If the lost world knew him, they wouldn't call us deplorables. They would not say that Christianity is the enemy of the world if they knew him. And they don't. And it's our job, our responsibility, to tell them of Christ. This is the most important month of your whole year. One of my old friends used to say, the mission conference is the annual business meeting of the church to determine the fate of the lost. So what are we going to do about getting the gospel around the world?